You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
It was on the shore of Lake Galilee where the people were pressing up against Jesus. They were surrounding him. They were desperately wanting to get as close as possible to him, and they were almost pushing him into the ocean. And so when there were two boats and four fishermen there on the lake, he asked them, and he stepped out onto a boat, and they were tired after toiling all night. And he spoke to the multitudes, and afterwards, knowing that they had been toiling all night and hadn't caught anything, he tells them to throw their net on the other side, and they catch so many fish. And suddenly, when he is confronted by something that he can't explain, Peter falls before Christ and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I can't be in the same room as you. I can't even be near you. You are holy and I am not." And Jesus reaches down and he tells him, "Follow me." In the middle of us saying, "God, no, I can't. I can't be close to you. I'm not worthy." He reaches out and he says, "I want you to be closer to me. I want you to follow me." And then he tells Peter, "I will teach you to become a fisher of men. I will teach you to share the gospel and to tell other people about me." Today, we're going to hear student stories, and we're going to hear the ways that some people have fallen before God and said, "I'm not worthy. I can't be near you, God." And he reaches down and he says, "That doesn't matter anymore. I want you to follow me. And I want you to share me." And so today we're going to hear from two of my favorite people. They're both seniors, Jaden Britton and Jesse Thompson. And I legitimately couldn't think of anyone better to speak today. They are two of the most genuine people I know. What you see is what you get. They both work at the Hiccup. And every single time I come, they are smiling and joyful. And when they're not, they're honest. What you see is what you get. And you know when it's a good day or a bad day, but I have never left a conversation with them not feeling encouraged. And so today, we're going to start with having Jaden speak. But today is also special because it's Jaden's birthday.
Thank you, Taylor. Yeah, I didn't really know if there was any more form of confirmation from God to speak and give my testimony than it. Charlie saying, "Oh, we're doing it on April 10th. I was like, "Oh, that's my birthday." So there's kind of like no telling God no to that. And I do want to give a couple of quick shout outs. First is to Courageous Class. That's pretty good, but I think when Jesse does it, you could be louder. And then the second shout out I want to give is to the previously mentioned Hiccup. I could also expect that to be a little louder when Jesse comes up here, but that's okay. And so I also just wanted to say, like, I'm extremely grateful to just have the opportunity to share my testimony. I know this isn't necessarily about me. This is more so about Jesus intervening in the trajectory of my life, and I'm super grateful for Charlie and the chapel team for giving me this opportunity. But I do want to go ahead and start because I have a time limit, and I just saw Rachel Van threaten to tackle Zach Meerkreeps for going too early, so I need to be mindful of time. My story actually starts somewhat similar but somewhat different to a lot of other people's stories. I was not born in a Christian home. My dad was actually, and still is, a Wiccan. And my mom at the time was not a Christian. She wasn't religious, but now she's come to know the Lord. And my parents were actually never married. They broke up before I was born, and so I was born into a broken home. And despite growing up in the South in Alabama, I had actually only gone to church maybe like 10 times before I was 15 or 16. And my life before Christ can honestly be characterized by a lot of back and forth. My dad, he had me every other weekend because of the custody situation, and my mom, she moved around a good bit, so there was a lot of back and forth there. But the most consistent thing I had in life was my dad and my dad's house. He was always there, it was always the same, nothing changed. And so it became a safe haven for me, a place where I could like actually belong, which was something that I've always struggled with, just the feeling of belonging and being in a space where I belong. And so fast forwarding a bit, I would eventually come to know Jesus when I was 16. So I didn't get all the VeggieTales episodes, I didn't get all the Bible trivia. It was a little later for me, so I'm still catching up, so forgive me if I don't understand a reference. But until then, I could honestly say that I lived an extremely comfortable life. I like to frame it as I was comfortably numb. I wasn't really challenged by anything. I was living for myself, and not only that, but I was encouraged to live for myself by my family. And I also just put myself first, which by secular standards, this makes total sense. Nothing is wrong about this by secular standards. And so in every instance, I thought I was fine. Until one day, when I was 15, I would be forced to realize that actually I was not fine. And I remember the day very clearly. I was in sixth period chemistry. I was a sophomore in high school, probably struggling in chemistry, to be honest. And my dad texted me, and he said, "Hey, bud, call me when you get out of school. I have some bad news." And obviously, I immediately started worrying. And so I get home, I call my dad, we small talk for a little bit. Whatever it was, I could tell my dad wasn't ready to tell me. And then after a little bit of silence, he said, "I don't know how to tell you this, but the house burned down today." And I immediately said, "Dad, that's not funny. You don't joke about that kind of stuff." And he replied, "Son, I'm not joking. You know I wouldn't do that." And so it turned out that an electrical fire spread from one end of the house to the other end of the house, and it burned the house down to the bricks. There was nothing left. And we lost everything that was in that house, all the memories and the photos and the things that we thought were safe but were actually irreplaceable were gone. And I remember when it first happened, I didn't know what to do, so I started calling people and I started telling them the news. And I was really hoping that these people that I really trusted, could help give me some kind of consolation. Sadly, sorry wasn't enough for me in that moment. No matter what people said, I just couldn't get anything for consolation. And although I was not literally or physically homeless, and neither was my dad for a time, I felt homeless internally. It was hard for me. I had just lost the most stable part of my life. It was the only place where I really felt like I belonged, in a space that I was safe, and it was just gone. And so it was at this point in life that I realized, if I don't find something bigger than myself, when worse things come, I'm not going to know what to do. And so naturally, it just made sense to me that I could find this in religion, and that made sense. So initially what I tried was I did what my dad did. I was a Wiccan for a little bit, and not long after I started, thankfully, I came to realize that I wasn't a very good Wiccan, and whether that was because of my own lack of discipline or maybe God's prevenient grace or maybe a little bit of both, it just didn't stick. The only thing that I knew after this was that I still felt the same. I just felt empty in my heart internally. I still felt homeless, and I had nowhere to belong. And so then one day when I was 16, I decided to finally try church. It had been a year, and so let me be totally transparent when I say this. I didn't decide this on my own. I was extremely skeptical of church. I'd seen so many things that had gone wrong, and I didn't think that it would actually work. And I actually didn't decide this on my own. I was invited by a girl that I started talking to in high school. And so in my head, it was a win-win situation. I get to talk to the girl. I get to go try the church thing. It just made sense. But if you know anything about my story or if you've put anything together, I ended up winning on both scenarios, by the way. But what I didn't know at the time was that God intended to use that, just me going to church for the first time. And I can't remember a specific moment that I can look back on and say that was the moment that I knew I was saved. I think a lot of people have those powerful testimonies, But for me, it was something more gradual. It was something that happened over time. And there are a lot of moments where I can look back and I can clearly see, oh, God was doing something in my life. And so I want to share a couple of those moments. And one of those moments, funny enough, was the moment that I went to church with Lauren. I don't want anyone to think this is cliche, but when I walked into the room, things felt different. It was just so unfamiliar for me at the time, the feeling, and I didn't know how to name it. I didn't have the vocabulary, but as I look back, I can see God was giving me a place I could belong. And I'd felt it before. It just, when I lost the house, I couldn't figure it out when it was given back to me, and God was giving me a place where I knew I could belong. Another important moment, which is what really led me to put my trust in Jesus entirely, was when I was confronted by God with the reality that I was using people at church and their relationships to give me some kind of sense of home, to fill the internal homelessness that I previously just mentioned. I felt so convicted, but I realized that God was actually stepping out and inviting me to enter into a new kind of home with Him. And I had relied on these relationships. Meanwhile, God was waiting for me to accept what He was offering. And now I wish I could say that life became incredibly easier when I became a Christian. If anything, life got a little more complicated and a little more difficult, but filled with meaning. And so one moment where I really still struggle with some of the things that God has blessed me with is to this day, struggling with feelings of belonging and home still happen. When I first got to Asbury, I didn't feel like I belonged here. I felt like an outcast, and I didn't feel like this was a place where I could be home, even though I'd clearly heard God say, "This is where you belong." I honestly forgot that God had honestly replaced my home with His Holy Spirit. And another very hard part of becoming a Christian was very early on when my relationship with my dad struggled. When I became a Christian, my dad and his side of the family, we didn't talk for about a year. And I think my decision to become a Christian hurt him more than anything else. I think trying Wicca and then abandoning him really hurt him. And I think it drove a wedge between the two of us. And I didn't understand why it felt like I had to choose between my dad and Jesus. And I didn't understand why, Jesus, are you bringing division? But thankfully, Jesus has really helped me to feel a sense of belonging at Asbury. I'm still here. It's been 3 years, and I really feel like I belong. This is a home for me. But also in my relationship with my dad, Jesus has really helped us to take a lot of great strides in our relationship. To my point, though, life did get harder, but life became more meaningful than it had ever been for me. And maybe the most important lessons I've learned came from those first few years when I was still learning to walk as a Christian, when I was a baby Christian. It was through those trials that I learned that Christ would never leave me. He promised that. He would never leave me. And I learned that as long as I clung to Him, I would have a home in Him always. And so the last thing that I want to mention as I close the story, I just want to stress a couple of things that I think are really important throughout this story. I witnessed firsthand God's unique ability to rescue me from the worst and lowest moments in my life. And I know that's true for a lot of people here too. And I know it might sound like common sense, or maybe you've just heard it a bunch from this podium, but Jesus was literally the only one who could save me. And I tried. I tried other things. I tried other religions. It didn't work. I tried Wicca. It didn't heal me. I tried to find solace in my relationships. That didn't fulfill me. Even in a church setting, that didn't fulfill me. It had to be knowing Jesus to the point where I could open my heart to Him and give Him my brokenness so that He could fill in that void and give me a place to call home. And so the very last thing I'll say is this. I just want to recognize that God is the one that's done all the good things in my life, and He's been the one who has given me blessing, and I've seen a lot of blessing come from God. And I've been blessed to be on the receiving end of this, and if it weren't for God, I just don't know where I would even be. I doubt I would be married to Lauren, who invited me to church, or I doubt I'd be at Asbury, and I doubt I'd be seeing my relationships with my family being healed. And more importantly, for my story, I'd seriously doubt that I would have a place to call home in the Holy Spirit, a place that would never burn down. So, thank you.
Friends, thank you, Jaden. That was beautiful. When Charlie first reached out to me about this, my immediate response was definitely not. But I realized it would probably be a good idea to bring it to the Lord before I just outright said no. So I asked him to just make it clear, what do you want me to do? And it is really funny how the Lord works sometimes. I'd grabbed a notebook for class that I don't normally bring, and I was flipping through trying to find a page to start some notes on, and I came across a page where I had taken notes during a Steve Deneff sermon from last semester. And on it, I had just drawn Hugh's stage, and the only words written on it were, "It is waiting for you here." And kind of similar to Jaden, I figured, okay, Lord, that is about as clear as it gets. So I texted Charlie and said, I'm in, and here I am doing something I really never expected I was going to do. But it's an honor to get to share with you all just a piece of how the Lord has been faithful in my life. First and foremost, I want to give a couple shout outs to the courageous class, my seniors. That was great. I'm excited to walk across stage with you all in a couple weeks. And also, second chance, all my hiccup baristas. Thank you, Ethan. And then finally, all my girls and Eddie. It's been an honor to be your RA this year. I love you guys. So I've grown up in Wilmore for most of my life with my older brothers and my parents. And as such, Asbury always seemed like a logical option for college. But I didn't want to come here. I did not want to be the Wilmore kid who went to Asbury, because I had known way too many of those, including one of my brothers, to want to be one myself. But it's funny how the Lord works sometimes. My senior year of high school, I took a couple classes here and inevitably fell in love with this place. It became a no-brainer for me that Asbury is exactly where I wanted to spend my next 4 years. So in spring of 2020, I knew it wasn't possible for me to come without a scholarship, so I signed up for one of the competitions. And I'm going to ask you all to rewind a little bit with me and my story. Growing up, I would call myself an academic perfectionist. I put an inordinate amount of pressure on myself to perform as well as I possibly could. And it morphed from a drive and a motivation and a love of learning into more of an obsession. My greatest fear became failure. Around my sophomore year of high school, I found that any time I had an exam or presentation or an assignment coming up, I would get sick the night and the morning before, and I would start to lose sleep. I was attributing it to stress, and rightly so, but I don't think I realized just how much power I was letting that have over my life. Now, fast forward again to this competition. Part of it is an interview, and I was preparing exhaustively for it, and as it approached, I found myself getting sick. I was hinging all of the last 12 years of my schooling on this one moment. And I walked into that interview, and I cannot tell you what happened, but I knew that I felt like I botched it. I do remember at one point I cried. That was absolutely humiliating. And I knew walking out, there was no way I was getting that scholarship. But isn't it funny how the Lord works sometimes? A few weeks later, when I received a phone call, I knew it was only the Lord's provision that I would be attending here in the fall. He affirmed in me that this was the right place for me to be and showed me it wasn't by my own strength that I would be at Asbury, but rather in his provision and faithfulness making the way. So full of excitement, I started the fall semester and declared my major in actuarial mathematics, and it went great for 2.5 years. And then spring semester 2023 happened. I'd known in the back of my mind when I chose my major that it was very much something I was doing for myself. I didn't really bring it to the Lord. I wanted to major in math because I believed I could do it in my own strength. But it's really funny how the Lord works sometimes. I was in two of the hardest classes in my major, and I knew that the spring was going to be rough. I was straining to keep up with my classmates, and I was having a really tough time in class. And then there was this little thing you might remember in February. We call it the outpouring. And it was some of the best days of my life. The Lord was revealing himself anew to me, and he broke chains that I didn't even realize I was carrying. He introduced me to a new freedom in him, and it was so beautiful to walk in, and it still is. I wouldn't trade those days for anything. And it's the first time I can remember setting aside academics in favor of letting everything center around Jesus in my life. And I had so much freedom in him. But when the services ended and life on campus mostly resumed to normal, I found myself in a really deep pit with those classes. I had no idea how I was going to get out, but I had this new assurance in the Lord, and I was confident that he had led me to Asbury. He'd brought me here for a reason. He wasn't about to let me wallow and fail now. I thought it wouldn't make sense for him to work the way he had, just to let me fall short. Besides, I'd worked way too hard. But it's funny how the Lord works sometimes. By the end of the semester, I got my grades back, and I had failed both classes. But that's not all. I'll never forget, I was about to walk out with the Asbury Chorale to sing a concert, but I had seen that I'd received an email, and I knew I had to read it before I could take another step. And when I opened it, all I saw were two words: academic probation for the fall of my senior year. And let me tell you, those words shattered me. I didn't know how to move on from them. All of a sudden, everything I'd built my identity on was crumbling beneath me. I had nothing left to stand on. This person I thought I was, this vision I'd crafted for myself and for my life, was gone. And I didn't know who I was supposed to be anymore. I was angry at God. I kept saying, "Lord, this was our plan. I thought it's what we were supposed to do. And now you've just taken it all away." But what I didn't realize was that in the failure, the Lord was doing a redemptive work. All I could see were the grades that had been terrifying me for my entire life. There was nothing that I could do to change them. I had no strength to make my situation better. When I was in ninth grade, the Lord led me to 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, which says, "But the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Ever since then, it's been my life verse, and the Lord reminds me of it often, and in those days, I was far too aware of it. But when I saw myself as weak, helpless, and insufficient, he was promising his all-sufficient grace and perfect strength. I'd asked the Lord to make a way for me to pass, and he did, just not in the way or with the timeline that I'd wanted him to. I retook those classes in the fall, and by his grace, I passed. But it is so funny how the Lord works sometimes. I had all these expectations for who I was supposed to be, what my life should have looked like. But the Lord revealed to me that those were my ideas, my visions, things I was relying on my own ability and strength to accomplish. And what he has called me to is to be something far more precious than a student or an academic. He's called me to be his beloved. He's healed my relationship with academics. I don't get sick before exams or presentations anymore. I don't lose sleep over assignments. Instead, I now understand more the joy of learning as opposed to just earning the grade that I want. He was faithful even when I thought he was leaving me to fall. And he revealed to me a far greater joy in my failure than I'd ever experienced in my success. As we read in Psalm 16, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And I've also found great comfort in the first few verses of Isaiah 43, which says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you." The Lord has been faithful even when I thought he had left me to wallow in the failure. He has called me by name, and though I no longer have a clear vision for where I'm going, I walk with the confidence that he has prepared the way, and he's not going to let me walk alone in it. I don't fear failure anymore. He helped me to face it by his strength. I tried to stand on my own ability, but the truth is, those were gifts that were from the Lord in the first place anyway. He taught me how to stand firmly on him as my rock, not depend solely on myself, to trust that he is sufficient. He has called me by name, and I am his. And the same is true for each of us today. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I'm so grateful just for this place, for this space that you've created for us to come together and to worship you and to lift your name high. Lord, I pray for each of us. This semester is coming to a quick close, and I just pray that as we go, we would depend fully on you, on the gifts that you've given each of us. Lord, it is such a joy to know you, to know your strength, to know your glory, to know your sweetness and your kindness, to know you'll never let us fall. You never let us walk away from you, Lord God. You bring us back into yourself. Jesus, I thank you for the way that you draw us close each and every day. May we give you all the glory. In your name, amen.